And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to Live from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. Sponsor this half-hour is Christian Book Distributors. You know, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study, and so I go and get many of my Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices from Christian Book Distributors. With a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classics and contemporary works, and of course Bibles, CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for over 30 years. Now, you've probably been following the story of the Kentucky County Clerk, Kim Davis. Poor, poor Kim Davis. Because of her religious convictions, she refuses to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. For her, it's a heaven and hell issue. She is an elected official. That means they voted her into office, a Democrat. And because she's a Christian, she's been a Christian for something like 4 years, is it? She's relatively new Christian, but she has these religious convictions based on the Bible that marriage is exclusively for a husband and a wife, and that homosexual relationships, homosexual behavior, is against the ideal of God. It's against God's word. And so, based on these religious convictions, she is refusing to grant these marriage licenses. Well, that decision has landed her behind bars. Last week, she was taken into custody on Thursday. And only today, she sat in prison over the weekend, the long weekend. And today she was scheduled for release. Her attorney had worked it out. And so she appears to be somewhat free today. That was the latest reports. Now, here's the thing. For many Christians, this is but birth pangs of what is coming to America due to the Supreme Court ruling earlier this year. Back in the summer, the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage is the law of the land. And so folks like Kim Davis, county clerk, she's got to issue these marriage licenses. And of course, I have some Facebook friends who are not Christians who thought this was a great thing and couldn't understand why folks like me and others believe this is the end of religious liberty in America. Well, the dissenting judges, in their dissenting opinion, explained how this is going to infringe upon religious liberties. And so here we are, merely months after the Supreme Court ruled on this, and it would seem as though those dissenting judges were prophetic in their declaration that this would infringe upon religious liberties. And so many Christians think that this is the death of religious liberty in America, and that this is the beginning of a systematic persecution of Christians through a tyrannical government, or something like that, akin to it at least. And initial reports about this seem to especially indicate that Kim Davis was only going to be released if she violated her conscience and began granting these marriage licenses to homosexual couples. Never mind that there were other places that these folks could go to get marriage licenses. That's not the point, right? For them, it's all about you need to comply, you need to compromise your convictions and those sorts of things. It's part of the secularization of America, where we want any inkling of God, any idea of his name, completely erased from society. Well, there's a lot of different takes on the Kim Davis thing. There's many Christians who support her in this. Me, I'm just kind of like, hey, good on ya, okay? And if you want to fight against this, that's your prerogative. And so I don't doubt the sincerity of Kim Davis's convictions one iota. I am persuaded she is thoroughly convinced concerning these things. It's wrong, and she doesn't want to participate in. So I do wonder, though, about her. For one, I wonder about the consistency of taking moral stands. In some counties, the clerk is in charge of filing business licenses. Not every county, but smaller counties like Rowan County, population just over 23,000, the county clerk wears many hats. And so filing business licenses, I don't know how long she's been a county clerk, but has she refused to file business licenses for, like, I don't know, local bars or strip clubs? I mean, I don't question her convictions, but I wonder about the consistency here. Christians are supposed to be opposed to drunkenness, categorically condemned in Scripture. These kinds of establishments specialize in drunkenness. Christians are supposed to be against the oppression of women and the sexualization of them. And joints like strip clubs, they specialize in exploiting women and their bodies. And so I wonder, maybe that kind of paperwork hasn't come across her desk. But if it did, would she take the same kind of moral stand and say, I'm not going to file this, okay? I'm not going to have any part of this. And maybe she doesn't have to deal with that kind of paperwork in Rowan County, but it seems as though that's kind of par for the course for many of these county clerks. They got to wear those many hats. Not everywhere, but in some places it's true. Again, maybe she hasn't been faced with business licenses and stuff like that. Maybe this is the first time that her Christian convictions have gone heads up with the work that she's doing. First time they've been put to the test. And if so, the next thing I wonder about is the prudence of refusing while still desiring to maintain your current employment. What I mean is, I wonder why she just doesn't resign. It would seem to me that would be, in one sense, a more meaningful step of faith than pursuing litigation. She'd be saying, look, I don't want any part of this. I refuse to participate in this, period, and here is my resignation. I'll no longer be working here. Now, it may not get picked up in the media, like, you know, being thrown into prison and having this going through the litigious process and all this. But I don't know. I wonder about those sorts of things. You know, if it, not so much easier, because, you know, walk away from a job, that's your source of income. But a more meaningful step of faith to say, because of my religious convictions, I absolutely refuse to participate in this and I will no longer be working. Or, you know, she's been elected. I can't serve as your elected representative in this capacity because of my religious convictions. I'm sure she'd get a lot of support, a big groundswell from the constituency. She's already received that from the constituency of Kentucky that she serves. But again, what a meaningful step. I resign. I refuse to participate. I'm not going to do that. There are some Christians who believe that a Christian should have no business they have no business being involved in elected positions. And it could be because of the kingdom. It could be because you have to compromise yourself in order to get, you know, there's arguments for that. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. I wonder also about the wisdom of going to court with the world when there are other options that are available, like resignation. Okay, she's probably, I haven't seen this, but she's probably being championed as a modern day Daniel. You know, going against the edict of the king to eat of the. Of course, she's not participating in a same-sex marriage. I mean, she's just got to sign the paperwork, as I understand it. And so, when, you know, she's not performing the wedding, she's not in the wedding, but she's just signing off this paperwork. And so she's maybe being compared to a modern-day Daniel, and when he refused to participate at the king's sumptuous table that all the fine foods that he had put forward. Daniel chapter 1, and he was rewarded for that, of course. God blessed him because of that. You know, and so the only difference, of course, is Daniel, I don't know that he had the option of resignation except that he would get his head cut off if he refused to serve the king. I mean, that was kind of the end of it. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that and dig into that a little bit more. But we live in a society where that option is available to her, to Miss Davis. And so, again, I wonder about the wisdom and the optics. I mean, the world looks upon this and they're not exactly friendly to this. And the scripture tells us that we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. Is this the most honorable thing where we're going to court against the world? I'm just asking. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm just asking. We, as Christians, are to strive to do our best to ensure that our good is not spoken of as evil. Romans 14, verse 16 seems to indicate that. Don't let your good be spoken of as evil. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all, Romans 12 and verse 18. And so, you know, going to court, is that living peaceably? Of course, as far as it depends on you, but she may feel that she's done that, she's gone as far as she can, and now it's time to pursue a different course. It could be. Don't misunderstand me, I'm in no way condemning what Davis is doing. If she wants to do what she's doing, good on her, okay? I don't take any issue with that. In fact, it'll probably be my neck on the line, so to speak, in a year or two. Not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but that's just the way these kinds of things go. She could be working to establish some kind of precedent for folks like me in the future. And again, well and good, that's fine. But again, all of these passages which I've just cited, and these are just a sampling. There are others that speak to this issue as well of making sure that everything that we do is honorable before men as much as possible. As much as possible, as much as it is in us to live peaceably with others. But we also have passages which dictate, yeah, you operate based on your conscience, and whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. We are to abstain from every form of evil, and that it seems to be where Kim Davis is in this. So all of this, though, was written when the government was openly hostile toward Christians. They didn't have recourse in the courts such as we do, with the Constitution and freedom of speech and religious liberties and all those sorts of things. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I don't know that I've offered any good answers to this, but it's something which we in America have the ability to debate. You know, folks in other countries where Christianity is not only illegal, but it's persecuted, they don't have this kind of liberty to second guess or question or ask what the best way. If they're a Christian, being a Christian's illegal in these other countries. I forget what the number is now, but it's increasing. And it seems like ours is on the same path. But who cares? If our citizenship is in heaven, and if we're part of a kingdom which is not of this world, then whether we live under a tyrannical government, like the Apostle Paul or Peter or those in the first century, or we live under a democratic republic with representatives and we get to vote our people in, and yet that seems to be on the decline as Christians lose representation and lose footholds in government as secular forces seem to be taking a more prominent role, so be it. This world is not my home. I thought that's what we sing, but sometimes we just feel too at home in this world anymore. Today in church history, Harvard, Massachusetts Puritans found Harvard College in 1636. It's America's first institution of higher education. Just 6 years after arriving from England, by the way, is when these Puritans founded this college. It was named, of course, for the donor, John Harvard. What a name, John Harvard, right? And what's interesting, what you may not know about Harvard, is that John Harvard, he donated, but also 2 years after Harvard is founded in 1638, John Harvard dies. He was a devout minister of the gospel. He dies at 31 years of age. And he left money and about 400 books to this new college, Harvard. And that gift established the library at the new school, and they named the school in 1639 after John Harvard. Now, what you may not know about this is that Harvard was established with the intention of training ministers. The college's rules and precepts of 1646 could be used as a handbook for any Bible college today. Here's a section. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17, verse 3. And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him. Proverbs 2 and verse 3. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the Scriptures twice a day, that he shall be ready to give an account of his proficiency therein, both of theoretical observations of language and logic, and in practical and spiritual truths, as his tutor shall require, according to his ability. Seeing the entrance of the world giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119 and verse 130. End quote. That was from the rules and precepts of Harvard College. Again, that could be from a handbook of any Bible college today. Now, when Harvard was founded, again, what you may not know is that its motto was Veritas Christu et Ecclesiae. That is Latin for truth for Christ and the church. And its crest showed three books, one face down to symbolize the limitation of human knowledge. So cool. All the symbolism involved in this, right? Over time, though, we've been talking about these secular forces that are at work, and behind them are the malevolence of the evil one, by the way. Over time, though, that book which was face down has been turned face up. And it was, again, it's symbolic. It represents the unlimited capacity of the human mind, and the motto The motto of Harvard was also changed to read simply Veritas, truth, and the reference to Christ and the church was removed entirely. And today, Harvard, yeah, that Harvard, it's a bastion of secularism, even though there are still some Christian students on campus, there's a group of them, but it's mostly just a secular institution. But it was on this day, 379 years ago, that Harvard College was established as a training institute for ministers.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from a Pulpit.
Is it sinful for a Christian to participate in any way in a gay wedding? Is it sinful for Kim Davis to sign off on the piece of paper for these gay couples? Is it sinful for a Christian to bake a wedding cake for a marriage between two homosexuals? That was kind of in the news, too long ago. These are questions of our times, aren't they? And while I have argued that Scripture is very clear in denouncing the practice of homosexual behavior and that homosexual and all sexual sin is sin, whether we're talking about homosexual behavior, homosexual practice, or sex outside of the marriage relationship, whether it's premarital or extramarital, whether it's adultery, yeah, this is all sinful, okay? Now, we're wondering, though, what about the actual wedding process? Is it wrong? Is it sinful for a Christian to participate in these sorts of things? Well, now this is where we kind of can get bogged down in the weeds. Is it lawful? Is it right to violate our conscience if our conscience tells us that homosexuality is wrong and everything having to do with that I have a problem with? Well, yeah, it's wrong to violate your conscience. And so, you know, if you, like maybe Kim Davis, hold to the view that everything involved with homosexual marriage is sinful, is wrong, and I'm not going to support anything having to do with that, something that's sinful, well, then don't violate your conscience. Don't violate your biblically informed conscience. Listen, you're not the one getting married, by the way, okay? But your involvement, whatever degree that is, if you believe it's wrong, don't violate your conscience. Now, on the other hand, if you see the homosexual marriage as, hey, I'm not involved in it, and I'm not the one getting married, I'm not the one signing the paperwork or anything like that, and it's just like any other marriage between any other folks outside of Christ, and so I, you know, have no conscientious objection to just being there. If your conscience isn't violated and you can go to that, well and good. Doesn't mean that you're saying that the Bible doesn't count or the Bible doesn't matter. Still wrong. But if you don't have any qualms about it, if like the person who was baking the cake, if they didn't have any qualms in their conscience, and it's just like any other cake for any other people outside of Christ who are sinners and in need of the gospel and in need of repentance, then yeah, go ahead and bake that cake, all right? Or if Kim Davis said, look, these folks are sinners in need of Jesus and repentance just like anybody else who comes to me who is not in Christ, who are not Christians, and she can sign it off, sign the paperwork. But if you can't, then, yeah, maybe you sit this one out. I can't in good conscience sit through this. I can't in good conscience bake a cake. Because it feels like I'm giving some kind of approval, whether real or imagined, to this practice. And so that's kind of the long answer here. Right, wrong, if it's going to violate your conscience to be there or to participate in whatever degree, then don't go and don't be a part of it. But if you can view it as, look, it's just like any other wedding between sinners that I've been to before, folks outside of Christ who need Christ, who need repentance, and those sorts of things, and you're not condoning that practice, then go. There's some who would say, well, how could you go and not condone it? Think of it this way. It's kind of like going to a baseball game or a football game where you know every last one of those guys on the field, well, not every last one, some of them are good guys, but many of those guys on the field are involved in all kinds of sin. And so by going to the Giants game or going to the Niners game, or maybe those aren't your teams, but whatever, how could you go to that? How could you be a spectator at that when you know all those guys are involved in all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of sin? That's kind of what it's like. You're a spectator. And you're not condoning these guys. You're not giving them a pass. You're not saying, yeah, it's okay that he beat his wife before. Some football players have done that. You know, it's okay that he's an alcoholic. Now you're not giving approval to that stuff. Come on, you're a spectator, and so that's kind of what it's like. You're not giving approval to these guys' lives. You're not giving a pass saying it's okay or whatever. But it's kind of like, you know, how folks will boycott Starbucks or Disneyland because of how they support the homosexual behavior and homosexual marriage and that sort of stuff. Some Christians do that. Well and good. Others don't. I've been to Starbucks. Well, it's been a couple months, but someone gave me a gift card. I wanted to use it. But, it's still there. And if you can go to the coffee shop and, you know, the barista behind the counter with all the piercings and tattoos and everything makes your coffee, what, are you going to walk out on him? I know some Christians would, but others, it's not a violation of their conscience, okay? God has legislated concerning the morality of the thing. But whether or not you should go, or whether or not you should sign the paperwork, or whether or not you should bake a cake or support a certain business or what have you, I believe there's some liberty here, and it's tied up in our conscience. And we shouldn't look down on other Christians who are able to participate in this. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I'm out of time. Like the Facebook page, Life from the Pulpit. You get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Question of the Day segments are there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit. The letter N is in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure to stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, download all the episodes to your particular device. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there as well to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.